Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. We'll turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Oops. If someone was unable to be there with us on Thursday night at the Ministry Appreciation Dinner, but has served with us, would like to have a date book. We'll let you have first dibs for the next 2 weeks. So if you didn't get one, you'd like to have one of those, you go out and get those off there. You can ask, if they're not out front, ask Miss Carol or Miss Cindy, and there's plenty of them out there. We'll let you all have first dibs for 2 weeks, and then we'll open them up, and other folks can get one as they have need after that. Matthew chapter 9, if you will, and I'm going to read Matthew verses 36 and 30 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. Not an unusual passage, somewhat familiar, but I just want to kind of look at it slightly different than maybe we have before. Matthew 9, 36. This is Jesus, of course, the ministry of Christ, and he's out among the people. Verse 36 says, "And when he saw the multitudes, more than one multitude, more than one crowd, more than one," that word multitude means the a rabble, a congestion of people, if you will, a throng. When he saw, when he perceived, when he considered the situation, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. They were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. And then he said unto his disciples, his learners. That's what a disciple is, someone who's learning of him, learning to be like him, learning to do what he does. He turned to his disciples. He said to them, he said, "The harvest truly is plenteous." There's a multitude of harvest. "But the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest," the Lord of the harvest, "that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now sometimes people say, "Well, I'm not sure what I should pray for." Well, here's one thing we know for sure that Christ wants us to pray for. Laborers. I would say, though, that there's a lot of folks who shy from praying for laborers in the harvest because they're afraid they're going to be asked to labor. So when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth the laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. And this evening I'm going to talk on this topic, seeing the multitudes. Seeing the multitudes. Let's pray. Father, it's an honor and a privilege that you allow us to be called into the ministry of reconciliation, to take the hand of a sinner and take the hand of our Savior and bring them together, that their heart may be filled with you, their sins forgiven, a new life started. Lord, there's a lot of folks around us living a crazy day. All kinds of weird things going on sometimes, just things that were once in 5 year events, violence and heartache, now we see every day. There's multitudes out here fainting. They're wandering around, they're scattered as someone, because they don't know what to do. They have no shepherd leading them. Lord, may we introduce them to the shepherd. Lord, I don't think we're going to do it until we see the multitudes. Lord, we need to see the multitude. See them fainting. See them scattered. Lord, break our hearts for the multitude. We're going to take this time, Lord, and put it in your hands. Would you speak to our hearts? I've spoken on this before. And there's been many folks who've come along and have got caught the spirit of things and are doing their part in seeing the multitudes come to Christ. But Lord, we need laborers, more laborers, because there's a multitude. So Lord, speak to us. We need you here. May your spirit move in a very great way. And Lord, we give the praise in Christ's name. Amen. To be honest with you, I am wondering what has to be done so that our church will be moved with compassion and see the multitudes and be willing to become laborers in the harvest. Sometimes I wonder if we see the problems or do we see the people? Do we see the multitudes or do we simply see the mayhem? Do all we see are sinners or do we see souls? First thing I want you to see tonight is Jesus saw the multitudes. He saw the multitudes. Verse 36 says, and when he saw, perceived, considered the situation, he looked and he saw these multitudes of people. When I watch TV sometimes, you'll see all these riots and protests that are going on right now. And there's multitudes scattered about trying to find purpose and place, trying to find hope, trying to find an answer. And they don't know what to do. They're fighting and fuming and everything else. And everybody's look out for me. And they just they're lost in the whole mess. All lives matter. He said when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. This is not just the current multitude, I don't believe, because if you go back to the beginning of this chapter, there's incidences after incidences of things that of people he taught, he had contact with. And I believe that the end of this chapter, these few verses, is almost a summary of what he has seen throughout this chapter. He's seen this issue and that issue and this issue and that issue and these people and these people. And he thought he saw the multitudes. Listen, these are just instances, single people that the Lord has brought out for us to be able to not so we don't lose track of the trees because of the forest. He brings out some incidences, real people that the Lord helped because he saw them. But you know what? While he was seeing this person, he was seeing this person. And this person, and this person, and this person. And it was more of them and more of these. And he saw the multitudes. Watch, Jesus saw the crowd. Jesus saw that word crowd, that multitude means a throng, a rabble, a crowd, a congestion of people. Jesus saw the congestion of people. Jesus did not just walk by them. Jesus considered them. He saw them, that word means to perceive. He considered the situation. He considered them. He considered their condition. Can they be helped? Can something be done? He says when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Now, we talk about somebody speaking to our heart. In the Old Testament, I know it seems a little funny, but they use the word bowels. To have the bowels yearn. To feel sympathy for, to feel pity for. In other words, when he saw the multitude, it struck him to the core. I think the more we're like Christ, the more it's going to strike us to the core. I think sometimes there are good people who don't allow it to strike them to the core. Because if they allow it, then they're going to feel like they're going to have to do something. And to be honest with you, I think it's a lot of folks that, well, I don't know what to do.
So I cannot allow it to strike me to the core, because then I'm going to hurt. I'm going to yearn. My heart's going to just, is going to ache for these people. And then what am I going to do? Well, first of all, you can pray. Second of all, you can befriend them. Thirdly, you can give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can love on them. You can at least let them realize that somebody in the world cares about their soul. It might be just passing by. You know what? I have been kind of convicted on my own here. You know, we get very busy and full of things and doing things. And the fact is, I come in contact with a lot of people. And sometimes I just go about my way and I'm pleasant and kind. I'm not jumping down their throat or anything like that. But the fact is, sometimes you need to look them in the eye. Talk to them. Let them know there's somebody out there who cares about their soul. He was moved with compassion. He hurt. I know this sounds weird, but you know, and I've said this before, but I on Sunday nights, in fact, it's probably recording right now. Well, we'll start recording in about 20 minutes. Home videos. I'll watch home videos. And then when there's American Home, American Family, whatever it is. Whatever it is. But you watch those things, and somebody, you know, there's some of them I can't hardly stand because I feel it. Something happened, I can feel it. It actually hurts me, you know, because I said, well, I can't watch that one. I know what's coming. I can't watch that one. And we do that, you know, and so forth. But the fact is, when you see somebody who's lost in their circumstances, have no hope, they have any idea, and we know that Jesus is our hope, it should hurt. The same spirit that's within Christ is in with us. I'm not their hope. No, you're not the hope. But you can introduce them to their hope. You can invite them to learn the Word of God and find more hope. Find out how this works. It says, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Why? Because they were fainting. Let's look at it this way. Unable to make it through the day. Much less through life. They're not making it. They're falling before they're finished. They're struggling just to stay on their feet. They're fainting. They're just barely existing. He says they were fainting. They were scattered abroad. That word scattered means this kind of wandering around aimlessly through life, looking for some kind of purpose, some kind of direction. Have you ever noticed that sometimes these people who get on some of these protests and so forth, it's just like they need a cause. They need a reason for them to get up in the morning. In fact, this is a good one. Let me just grab on this one. I'll have a life because I got something worth living for. Something that's interesting. Some people do the same thing with hobbies. It gives them a reason to get up in the morning. What if your reason to get up in the morning was to give somebody hope? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. What if you could change somebody's life? What if one little girl, one little boy would find out somebody cares about him and loves him? Maybe some little girl, some little boy doesn't hardly say two words when they come into Sunday school class because no one listens anyway. Or you got the opposite. You got the one who just cannot sit still. It's climbing the walls. You're peeling them off the ceiling because they're saying, here am I. Does somebody care for me? Somebody love me? They had no direction, no purpose, and thus they could not see a future for themselves. They're lost, and they're wandering through life as a bunch of aimless sheep. You go into a field of sheep and go, and away they go. Cows are different. One start running, then they all start kind of running behind the same one. I don't know where we're going, but we're all going to the same place. But sheep, they just, shh. That's who we are. Jesus saw the multitude. Do you see them? Or do we just kind of conveniently not see them? Do we see them out of the corner of our eye and walk the other way? Are you willing to see the multitude? What if I said you have the answer in your pocket? That little New Testament. That little tract. You have the answer in your heart where you can share it and help them see it. Listen. There are way too many people in our area with church. They wouldn't call it a social club, but it's simply a community where we just kind of have our us for and no more. They don't want anything else coming in here and messing things up. That's not what church is. I'm sorry, that's not what church is. Church is the body of Christ. God in motion is giving out the gospel, it's bringing them to Christ, is building the body in numbers and spiritually. Number two, we kind of talked about this, but I want you to see the Lord's response to the multitudes. The Lord's response to the fact that there's multitudes. Say it that way. Verse 37. Then saith he, Jesus and his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, and he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, fact is, our Janet and Nathan have had some pots on the back deck this year, and they've grown tomatoes and his jalapeno peppers and some other things, some squash and all kinds of things in the back. And you know what you need? You know what? Every day there's been some that's been ready to pick. Some of them weren't. Some were just getting started. In fact, if you miss a day, some of them rotted. There's plenty of harvest. But the thing is, we need to check the harvest every day or we're going to miss some. We're going to miss some. He saw it, and his response was, we need somebody to make sure we're catching the harvest every day. We need to check the fields. You know when you plant corn, a lot of times you'll plant a field over here, and a week or two later you'll plant another field over here. And a week or two later you'll plant another field over here, because when the harvest comes in, you got a field over here coming in. 2 weeks later, you got another field coming in, and you got another field coming. So it's not all coming in at one time. You got it all, but you got it steady coming. It's coming. And you know what? God brings the harvest. Listen, we may plant, we may water, but God brings the harvest, and we got to go. He said, we need the laborers. Do you see the multitudes? Or can you pass right by them and not notice? You heard the old saying says, I'm not scared of work. I can lay down right next to it and go to sleep. Doesn't bother me a bit. And sometimes we're like that with winning souls. We're not scared of winning souls. We can walk right past it and never do anything about it. It doesn't bother us a bit. Sometimes we're no more purposeful as the rest of the world. I think that's why sometimes in churches, if we're not careful, we'll become program churches. Programs are good. for the purpose of bringing folks to Christ, getting them in so we can give them the Word of God, help them to grow in Christ, so they become soul winners, somebody who can serve. That's the purpose. But it's where the purpose is not the program. And when I say that, what happens is we become a purpose. We need purpose, and people will spend purpose doing this and doing this and doing this and doing this. And all those things need to be done. And I, you know, you heard, if you were there on Thursday night, we're talking about the body of Christ. We're all part of the body of Christ, fitly joined together, all doing our work. We need the eyes, we need the hand, we need the ears, we need the nose. They're all part of the body. But what's the purpose of the body? To build the body. To bring others to Christ. To expand. So the Lord's response was, we need more workers. The Lord's response to the multitude was, well, you know, he didn't throw up his hands. Well, not you're going to do so much. Here we go. His response was, we need some more workers. We are as aimless sometimes as the world. We're wandering through life, taking our cues from this sheep and then from that sheep and then from another because we refuse to follow the shepherd. The shepherd says, hey, we need some more workers in the field. Number three. I think that Jesus was grateful, and we should be grateful, for those that bring others to Jesus. Now, let me go back to verse 1 of chapter 9. Kind of did the end of the chapter first. Verse 1 says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came unto his own city. Behold, they brought him to a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise and walk? But that ye may know that a Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. And he rose and departed to his house. Now, just a little side thing here. People have to believe that there's something different about God. There's something different about Jesus Christ. There's something that he can do no one else can do. Something's different about him. And that was part of that was the fact is when he said, instead of healing them, instead of saying, be healed, he says, your sins be forgiven. What he was saying, he wanted to know was, my real purpose here is to take care of the sin. Now, I'll take care of the medical need as well while we're here. But the purpose is not the medical need. The purpose is the soul's need. And if we're not careful, we'll go around and get so busy with a lot of other things. But he healed him. Why? Because if he has power to heal, there's something new about this guy. There's something different about this fellow. He also has power to save. He has the power to forgive. Now watch this. When we have Christ living in our heart and people see Christ in us, he says, let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify the... Didn't say glorify you. It says glorify the Father. Listen, when you're living with Christ in your heart and you're living a way where they're seeing Christ in your life, they're going to say there's something different. God's on that person. God, they're going to glorify God. They're going to say, listen, if God can do something in that person's life, well, that God, maybe he can do something in my life. Maybe there is hope. Maybe there is hope. But watch this. Mark 2, you don't need to go to it, but Mark 2 has this same story and tells us that this is the man, the four men who came in and broke up the roof and let him down in the middle of the crowd. And he says when he saw their faith, he healed them. You know what I think? I think Jesus is grateful for those who are in the harvest. Those four men were in the harvest. Jesus was glad to have others bring the hurt and the lame to him because he has the answer. Sometimes Christians can get upset because folks come in and track in mud and they do this and they do that. And we don't have time for this. We don't have time for that. Wait a minute. What's the purpose of this place? the halt, the lame, the blind. When we get to heaven, God's not going to ask us, did you do a white glove check on the church before you came up? I hope you cleaned that carpet before you got up here. And you're going to say, how many souls did you take to the cleaners? How many lives were changed? Listen, Jesus will forgive our sin and give a new life, but we got to bring him in. Verse 4 there says, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Watch. We can expect others to look past your compassion. You look past your compassion and accuse you of self-righteousness. Oh, what are you trying to do? You're trying to be somebody special. What are you doing? You're trying to get a following? Listen, it wasn't the healing that the scribes were upset about. It was the forgiving that they were upset about. When Jesus said that his sins were forgiven, that meant that he had sins to be forgiven. That means he's being labeled a sinner. And if he's a sinner, then the scribes are probably sinners too. And how dare he say that he can forgive sins? What happens when the world sees compassion? Look at verse 8. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. What happens? They marvel. The multitudes see it. They see the compassion exercised. Number 4. There is a job to do, and God is calling us to do it. Now, by the way, it was work for those boys to bring that guy in. First of all, probably one on each end of the bed. And then he got there, and well, this was a waste of time. It was so full and crowded, we can't get in. Well, let's go home. Well, let's not go home yet. Must be something we can do. What are we going to do, go down through the roof? Let's give it a shot. Have at it. That's a lot of work. You know what to take him through the roof? They had to get him up on the roof without him sliding off the bed. I remember years and years ago, we had, what was her name? Margie, down in Westminster, Maryland. In fact, she still goes there. Sweetest thing. But she's all crippled up with, I'm not sure what she's got. She's so crippled up. But she had gotten saved, and she wanted to get baptized. Oh, this was years and years ago. And I thought she was old then. The world had just... She's still there. Just saw her not too long ago. We were down for Living Cross or something. And so she decided to want to get baptized. So you know what they did? I mean, she couldn't walk. I mean, she couldn't even sit in a wheelchair. It was just a mess. And so they found an old army gurney. It came time for baptism. We baptized several there. And Yeah, we took out the back row of the choir there. And it was time for her, and she came down the aisle with four of them on her, one in each corner, on an old canvas gurney. I guess what you call it. And they brought her up, and they had four guys on this side and four guys inside. And so they pushed her. She's just a skinny little thing. It really wasn't hard, but just didn't want to dump her, you know. And so they put her on there, and they handed her in and handed her the next one. And he baptized the Father in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, bearing the likeness of his death. And down she went. And up she came. And then they kind of shook it off, actually, a little bit, you know, and lift her back over and took her back out. Well, that's a lot of work. She wanted to take her stand for Christ. She wanted everybody to know whose side she's on. That's part of the body of Christ.
part of the body of Christ. And God's got a job for us. Look at verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he just healed this lady, this man. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, wait a minute, he was just a man making money. He goes to work every day, takes the taxes, put it down, mark it down, Probably wasn't always square, but he was taking taxes. That's all he was doing. Sometimes we get up in the morning, brush our teeth, we comb our hair, we go out and do our job, we come home, watch the news, get mad at and throw a shoe, get in bed, get up the next day and do it all over again. And you wonder, what in the world is life all about? This man, every day, sitting in the receipt of custom. You know what he's saying? I got something for you. I got you something really to live for. He said, follow me. And he arose and followed him, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Watch. We're not worthy to be called to serve. But we will be better servants when we realize that we don't deserve to be called. I think Matthew got excited because he took them all over to his house for dinner. Number four, he's got a job for us. Watch. Watch this now. Number five, I got several things here I want you to see when you see the multitudes. The multitude includes the sick. Verse 11. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When he saw the multitudes, he saw the people are sick. I don't think here he's talking about necessarily they had a cold, though he would take care of that too. What he saw was the soul sickness. Listen, have you ever watched somebody and they do something and said, man, that person's just sick. That person's just sick. There's a problem with that guy. He's sick. Listen, we're getting so accustomed to the crazy stuff on TV that's so sick. We don't even see sick as sick anymore. Sick. We've gotten so accustomed of not really, trust why I went through all that on Sunday mornings the last few months here, on have one God. We think we have one God. We have no idea what it means for him to be our God. Do you really trust him? Do you really go out on a limb when he says go? People don't see the soul sickness. He said he saw some sick people. Now, the fact is, we're going to see that the religious people saw him as sick. The Pharisees saw it and said, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Why do you let all those people in your church? You know that there are people, it's interesting, you attract what you are. There are people who would not touch this church with a 10-foot pole. You know why? Because we love sinners. Amen. Don't love sin, but we love sinners. Amen. I've had several people over the years say, you know what about Lighthouse Baptist? It's a healing place. Now, sometimes you got to do surgery. And it's not fun. But if we'll go through the process that God has given us, it's amazing how the healing can come. People are sick. He said, why you let those people in? There are some people who come because we're a hospital.
or there's people who stay away from us like the plague because they think we'll catch something. When we see the multitude and we are moved with compassion, we most likely will need to exercise, watch, mercy. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. That's the ones we're after, the ones who know they're sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. What do you mean? I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He says, listen, I'd rather you have you going out, showing the mercy of Jesus Christ and bringing folks to Christ, bringing them to the church, even if they make the place stink. I'd rather have that than some highfalutin religion. I'd rather have mercy than sacrifice. Now, there's a lot of religious people said, I don't want to have anything to do with that. He runs around with all those sinners. Well, don't go to the bar with them. Bring them to church with you. You know. When we see the multitudes, mercy takes precedence over formality and ritual. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the sick. The multitudes include the sick. Number six, the multitudes includes the religious. I think when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Just as he was moved with those who were sick, I think he was moved for those who were overly religious. Some folks do not serve because they're just too busy being religious. And they're not really enjoying the presence of the Savior. Watch. Where was Jesus? He was with Matthew. You go back and study through the Gospels. He was with Matthew and all Matthew's cronies, a bunch of other tax collectors. And he was sitting there having a good time. Jesus was in the house. I'm not talking about Elvis is in the house. I'm talking about Jesus is in the house. And the Pharisees were not enjoying 1 minute of it. They weren't enjoying 1 minute of it. Missing the presence of the Lord because I don't want to be there. Listen, if you want to be close to the Lord, then you're going to have to walk where he walks. You know where he walks? Among the sinners. Not out there doing what the sinners do, but loving on the sinners. Verse 14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we, this is John the Baptist's disciples, the good guys, right? Disciples of John saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said to them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? For the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse, the tears is even made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, both are preserved. Now watch me. He says, they said, why do we fast and the Pharisees fast, but the disciples don't? I don't know about you. I don't really want to be in the same boat with the Pharisees. But they just put themselves in the same boat with the Pharisees. A works religion had already started to form. These were disciples of John the Baptist, which taught the baptism of repentance. Repentance is important, but repentance is only the preparation for the reception of the gospel and not the total gospel. It takes more than the do's and the don'ts. It takes receiving of the gospel. And all of a sudden, apparently, the disciples of John had gotten a little bit full of themselves. Boy, we're almost as good as the Pharisees. I don't think you're running with the right crowd. Not trying to be mean here, but that's what they're saying. But he says, listen, Why are we walking around with long faces? We're here to talk about God. We don't have to do that right now because we got the presence of the Lord right here. He says, listen, you're upset because she's not fasting, and the publicans and Matthew and the bunch just had a wonderful time with Jesus, and you missed it. Why are we so long-faced and sour sometimes? We have the Savior, and the Savior has the answer. The answer to what? Whatever. Whatever. Matthew 6:16 says this, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now wait a minute. I got a question for you. How did the disciples of John the Baptist know that they never that the disciples of Jesus never fasted? They've been watching them. Or maybe, well, they don't go around looking all long-faced like we do when we fast. Guess they're not very religious. They were laughing and had a good time. They cleaned their face up and combed their hair. Looks like nothing was going on. Boy, I tell you what, when we fast, we want to make sure everybody knows something's going on. You know what Jesus saw? Jesus saw the multitudes. And it broke his heart. He saw the publicans and the sinners, the sick, but he also saw the religious. Listen, he says, we cannot mix the old way of thinking with the right way of thinking. Some folks are still in a mainline, hate to say it, mainline denominational works way of thinking. They're trying to add to formality a more evangelistic way of thinking, but the two have a difficulty dwelling together. And in fact, if you try to force those two philosophies together, they're going to tear each other apart. It's all in that part there. It's all right there. We'll have nothing but a mess. Jesus has moved. Listen, I'm not talking about crazy wildfire. I'm not saying we shouldn't take care of our place. I'm just saying that the fact is, it's our walk with Him, not the formality. And Jesus was moved with compassion when He saw those lost in religion. Number 7, He was moved. He saw the multitude includes the up and outers. He saw the multitude. He saw the sick. He saw the religious. He saw the up and outers. Verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now, he was a ruler, a certain ruler. Now, you might say about that guy, well, why is he bothering us when he could afford to go any place to get her healed? Why is he coming up? Listen. He realized there's something different about Jesus. Or you may say, well, he has all that money and position. He never helped us out. Why should we bother to help him? They may have everything this world offers and still be lost. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw those who trusted in their riches. Number 8. The multitude includes the down and outers. He saw the multitude. All of them. The sick, the religious, the up and outers, the down and outers. Look at verse 20. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned to him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. In Mark 5:26, it says she had spent all that she had and was no better. She's a poor lady. By this time, she had spent everything she had, probably some years ago, had nothing to show for it. Not only that, but the fact is, if you kind of look into the circumstances there, she was considered unclean. You don't want to touch her. You don't want to be around her. Get her away from you. He saw the multitude. He had compassion. We may enter into some uncomfortable situations when we see the multitudes. Larry Stainer tells a story about he and someone else went out to go soul winning, and they went in this house, and they had a little baby there, and of course they always have the second man to kind of run interference so the first person who happens to be the soul winner that particular time can get through the gospel. And he was given the gospel, and one of the other guys was running interference, and they had the baby there, and the baby was crying. And the baby, I'm not trying to be indiscreet here, but had loaded its pants big time. And it was oozing out all over the place. And he's looking at the person, and the person with the baby behind him. And he's giving the gospel, and you know, and this guy, you know, but he's not letting on anything, not letting on there's any trouble. Because this gal is ready. The Lord has got her heart ready. He's going to give her the gospel. She's about ready to get saved. What if he said, I'm not touching this baby on my soul. Not going to get rid, you know, he's in glory now, but the story just hilarious. Sometimes we get in some uncomfortable situations. Listen, they may have little to nothing here. And it may even get worse before they enter eternity. But Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw those who had little left. Number 9. The multitude includes the doubters. Hang tight with me. I'll be done here in a little bit. The multitudes includes the doubters. 23. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. He walks in. The ruler said, come, my daughter's dying. And in the meantime, he comes across this lady. And so he heals her. But then he goes on to the ruler's house. And he gets there. And he says, well, okay, just hold on. Give me some space here. She's not dead. She's sleeping. And the people there laughed at him. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand. The maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Doubters scoff. Doubters mock. But when Jesus saw the doubters, he was moved with compassion. They're part of the multitude. Well, I don't want to deal with them. No, they laughed at me. Yeah, I know, they laughed at Jesus. They made fun of all this. I know, they just don't know. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Number 10, the multitude includes the trusting. Aren't you glad for that? The multitude includes the trusting. These men we're going to see here were blind. These were blind men that could see even before they were healed. Watch this. Look at verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind... Wait a minute. He just left the house where they laughed him to scorn. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, ha, 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 thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto him, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Listen, when God starts using you to make a difference in the down and outers, even in the life of the doubters, there's going to be people who are going to say, wait a minute. One Tuesday night,
We were about we had gathered to go out on visitation, and we were about ready to leave, and a fella came to the door over here. And he said, he gave us his name, and he talked to me. He said, my mother-in-law, who's a Christian woman, told me I needed to get saved. Now, she was from another denomination, it was a Pentecostal-type denomination. And she said, your problem is you need to get saved. I'll tell you where you ought to go. You go down to Lighthouse, because they can tell you how to get saved. That's the honest to goodness truth. You go down to Lighthouse, and they will be able to tell you how to get saved. So we went in. A little while later, he's praying. He bowed his head and received Christ as Savior. People start coming to you. The multitude. Listen. You know what? Sometimes, I'm really busy right now. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Can I call you? That man's ready to get saved right then and there. Somebody needed to give him the gospel. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the faithful, saw the trusting. Number 11, the multitude includes demonic opposition. The multitude includes demonic opposition. Look at verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought him to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. Now watch me. The multitude includes those that will falsely accuse you. They're going to call you the devil. I read it this morning in the paper. Oh, Obama thinks that we're the ones that are dangerous. If you serve the Lord, you will be falsely accused. The devil's going to fight you. But Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw those overcome by Satan. He didn't say, that's the enemy. No, he says, they're the victim of the enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw those that slandered him. They were part of the multitude. They were part of the multitude. And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Number 12, almost done. The multitude includes, ready? Everyone, everywhere. Dr. Smith used to say, you can't take the gospel to the wrong house. He said when he first got the open door, there were some folks, and there were some, you know, in the multitude, some sick and some kind of strange and some this and some that. And he said, and he said someone went out and they were talking to somebody, and they wanted to give them the gospel. Said, hey, we're wondering if this is really a good prospect for the church. See how we think sometimes? Is this a good prospect for the church? And Dr. Smith says, well, were they breathing? Yeah, they were breathing. Good prospect. Were they breathing? In fact, for Jesus, sometimes they don't even have to be breathing. Look at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. What's he saying? We got a summary here. He went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Ministry is hard, laborious work. So is raising kids. So is keeping the yard nice. So is keeping your car nice. So is keeping the house nice. But what's it worth to you? Compassion. With. Come. C-O-M. With the same passion.
When he saw their hurt, he hurt. Do we have the same passion as Christ had? When he hurt, do we hurt? He hurts when others hurt. Do we hurt when others hurt? Do we see the need? Or do we just see some problem we don't want to have to deal with? Reaching the multitude, watch, will not stop until we go to heaven. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the souls of men. When he saw the multitude, you know what he said? Somebody needs to help them. And I have the answer. And Jesus says, I go to the Father, but greater works shall ye do than I have done, because I go to the Father. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. Now, we're not doing signs and wonders to prove that we're God. He's not asking us to do that. But we do have the same spirit. And we should have the same mind in him as him. And we go give the gospel in the power of the Spirit, and greater work shall we do. Do you see the multitudes? Do you see them? Do you even see them? Well, I've got this going on. I've got this problem with my car, and I've got this going on here. And you know, I've been trying to find this dress. I've been trying to something to match this skirt. And I just, you know, I'm one of these days. I'm going. Well, I love this. You know, I'm on level 10 of my video game. Sometimes that's adults too. Well, my show's on tonight. If I stop, I'm probably going to get my clothes messed up. When you see the multitudes, he said in 36, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. They were scattered abroad everywhere. As sheep having no shepherd, no purpose, no direction, just going everywhere. Then he said unto the disciples, look. The harvest truly is plenteous. There's somebody out there for every single one of us to get. The problem is the laborers are few. And I think when he looked at him and said, you know what, because of that, why don't you all just pray and God will send some laborers in the harvest. And when you pray that God's going to send some laborers in the harvest and you're really talking to the Lord, my guess is he's going to let you be one of the laborers too. He's going to let you. You get to walk where he walks. And when you walk where he walks, then he's there too. Listen, you're no closer to the Lord than when you do what the Lord does. You want to feel his presence? You start begging the Lord to give you power to lead somebody to Christ. What do you see when you see the multitude? Problems or people? Sinners or souls? There are still multitudes. And the problem is not that that there's no one to be reached. The problem is that there are few who are doing the reaching. We have multitudes to be seen. Can you see them? Are you even looking? Are we looking? Do you see the multitude? Father, pray that you speak to us here this evening. Thank you for our time. Lord, may we see the multitudes. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.